Hello and welcome to Inside Modular, the podcast of commercial modular construction, brought to you by the Modular Building Institute. Welcome everyone, my name is John McMullen. I'm the Marketing Director here at MBI. Today I'm joined by Gary Badge and Manny LaMarche of Orlando-based FK Architecture. Gary and Manny have returned to talk about how FK has evolved their modular design capabilities and talk about the latest innovations and methodologies they've incorporated. Gary and Manny, welcome back.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Good to be back.
Thank you, John.
Always good to talk with you guys. For those who haven't listened to one of our previous conversations, can you introduce yourselves briefly and tell me about FK Architecture?
Absolutely. I'm Gary Badge. I'm a managing principal here at FK Architecture. We've been around for 60 years as of last year. We specialize in hospitality, multifamily, renovation work, and modular work. And we've got about 50 employees right now, and we are licensed in 30 states throughout the U.S.
And I'm Manny LaMarche, and I'm a senior designer here at FK Architecture, and very excited about the world of modular. We've been attending for now 3 years. This is going to be our third year, and since it is here in Orlando, it's our hometown. We're very excited, and we are looking forward to attending and to welcome everybody.
Well, that's excellent. We're excited to be back in Orlando. It's a great city. It's going to be a great event. So let's talk about what you guys have been up to in the past few years. I know it's been at least a couple since we last talked. You've been a member of MBI for a few years now. What can you tell me about your journey with modular building design in that time, and how do you see others adopting it?
Well, it's been a journey. That's a good way to put it. You know, we started out not knowing a whole lot about modular building. I mean, we did have some previous experiences we've mentioned in the past, but it was 20 years ago. So we've long forgotten. So we got back to our roots, and with the help of the Modular Institute, you know, we learned a lot. We created a strong network. Manny and I share a strong passion for modular deliverable. We think that it speaks to a lot of the challenges we're seeing out in the world today with the construction industry and the design industry as a whole. And so, you know, as time has gone on, we've learned a lot. We've learned how to navigate the modular build. We've talked to, you know, a number of contractors, consultants, manufacturers, I mean, anybody and everybody that's involved in your industry, in the modular industry. And I think we have a good basis now. You know, we've made some progress in some projects. We've got some container projects on the boards. We've got a number of projects on the boards that are using a prototype that we developed, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And, you know, we really still see that it has a purpose in a lot of the conversations we have with our clients. Right, Manny? I mean,
yeah, no, I agree.
A lot of people are asking about it way more than they were when we started. I mean, you know, I think it was 5 years ago is when we joined. Right before or after COVID, somewhere in there. And since then, I mean, just in our region down here in the Southeast, there's been a tremendous amount of interest. And I have several conversations a month now about it and how it could, how modular could help them. So we just keep pushing the envelope.
It's very interesting to me because, you know, I lived in Europe in the 70s. I grew up in Madrid. And so modular construction, it was something that you would hear about. I studied some architectural drafting there. And so modular construction was part of it. You had all the, you know, the German industry and the Bauhaus ideas and those kinds of things. And Le Corbusier in France was, you know, the modular and all of that. So it's a kind of thing that was very present in my early years. So when we started, Gary and I started talking about things that we could do and started discussing the possibility of modular. This was before we joined MBI. So all of a sudden, all of that came back that was put in the back of my mind. And so it has become something that is a very, we're very passionate about it. And so I can these days, every single type of development that we get involved with, it comes to my mind. How can we make this a modular product? And we always consider it now almost by just the nature of the work. You know, it's something that it makes for us and for many people, it makes a lot of sense. especially when you hit a certain volume and a certain, you know, the manufacturing capabilities. I always like Gary's analogy to the Ford truck,
yeah.
You know, and so the buildings that we are designing, designing for the last couple of years, or actually since we joined and we got some speed on this, is thinking about that framework that can work with in multiple ways, that could be prefabricated, that could be built in a factory, that could be then built in larger scale. And then you can realize all the other benefits of a modular construction. So we're very, very passionate about it. And every time that we talk to developers, I talk to developers all day long, I always mention modular. And the moment they blink, I'm telling them about about the Modular Building Institute and all the things that we could do.
Thank you, Manny. I'm curious how FK architecture itself has changed since you guys have been advocating for modular so much, since you've been incorporating that into your designs. How has FK architecture changed since it brought in modular into its greater portfolio?
Well, now it's a mainstay offering. You know, we've set it up on our websites. We offer it, we promote it, and we're active in it. So when we approach a project, we ask first, do you consider modular? Which is something we didn't do before. So that's a change. You know, we wouldn't even offer that because we weren't involved. Now we know enough about it that it depends on the region and where we're having the project, depends on the client, the type of client, what the needs are, but we always are able to insert it into the conversation. I have developed a methodology in our proposal formats and how we structure our fees. We've got a new line of consultants that we've partnered with, many of which, you know, are licensed in as many or more states as us, because we see what we're doing as a national platform. Right. And we want to grow more than just where we are located here in Southeast United States. And since we're active everywhere, we think that we can be effective. So with the platform of modular, we took it to the next stage. Since affordable housing was a big need across the U.S. and we do a lot of it and have historically done a lot of it, we decided, let's take all the information and resources and our networks that we know about modular, and let's sit down and come up with a FK way of doing an affordable housing endeavor that speaks to the needs of local communities, speaks to the needs and challenges of the building industry as a whole, and can be more effective and productive for us in-house. And so that's permeated. So now, because we've adapted to a lot of the efficiencies modular has to offer, the way that we're structuring our business across the board, even in the conventional projects we do, is an efficiency. It's a way to do it where, you know, everybody knows their roles. They're able to effectively get a portion of the work done. They pass it on to the next teammate. They do their job and so on. And, you know, I think it's a work in progress, but we've had a lot of successes with it. And as such, we've been able to do a larger volume of work with less people. And I think that's a good thing. You know, sometimes when the industry gets busy and there's a need for or a demand for an architect and an engineering firm, you know, we respond by just adding more bodies to the mix. And that doesn't always pan out because there's a process in finding, you know, great talent out there, and there is some, but it's, you know, it's a hard thing to do, is to find the talent that meets our need and is familiar with the kind of work we do and the process we do. So again, it's become more of a way of life and a way of business. You know, it's not this niche discussion point anymore. When I'm meeting with my partners or our design team, I mean, it's in most conversations now. You know, let's talk about modular. How could this project, you know, be improved by using modular? How can we develop this project in a way that gets it done to the client's needs, to the contractor's needs? And those are all known up front. You know, there's usually a developer will say, hey, you know, we've got a challenging site. We've got a short timeline. We've got a number of repetitive things that we want to do. Labor is short. We have a great contractor, but he's struggling to find the right labor. I mean, all the same topics that you hear over and over I mean, it's still there. It's still prevalent. You know, that hasn't gone away. And so it was just a natural fit that we introduce it into the conversation. And then with the prototype for affordable housing, I mean, that's been real exciting, you know, because we think we could really be effective because we very much understand affordable housing. We understand the financial needs of affordable housing. We understand the needs from the social aspect and political aspects. And so with the right partners from the manufacturing side, you know, we're able to hit a good broad range of the country now. And we've developed, again, a prototype that's our little signature thing. It's based on principles that are out there, but it's the way that we deliver it. It's the whole package that we can provide, you know, from start to finish that makes it appealing. And we've had success. We've got active projects in Vegas, and we've got active projects in Tampa. And we've talked to people in our hometown here of Orlando. We've talked to people in Georgia and Atlanta. So it's caught some attention out there. I mean, wouldn't you say that we're making some pretty good strides, man?
Yeah, clearly, when we started the process a few years ago, we started from zero. We have great interests, and we continue to have great interests, but we didn't have the contacts. We didn't have the people that we've met and the companies that we've come across by attending the World Modular has been instrumental in helping us visualize the great potential for the industry, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you overlay the housing affordability concerns that are very real, they're very tangible, then you can see how you have a problem on one side and a variety of very targeted solutions on the manufacturing side when manufacturing housing components or volumetric fabrication can clearly help address the concerns of living affordably.
And when we say affordable, I mean, I think there's a natural inclination to think low income. And that's not what we're thinking about. Today, affordable means attainable. You know, I mean, we design apartments all the time. A market rate apartment, you know, in our region is easily $2,700 a month for a two bedroom. And, you know, you're looking at a 1,200 square foot unit. You know, that's a hard bite on some families, you know. Single moms or young couples or even people that are in the blue collar industries, you know, our service workers out there. I mean, they deserve an affordable place to live that they can raise their family, as Manny said, and be productive. And, you know, it's tough when you got to focus on where the hell am I living? It's hard to be productive in your careers and everything else. So, you know, things are getting all out of sync, I think. Mm-hmm. And I feel the way that we've promoted our prototype, again, it's social, it's economical, it's political, it's a package deal.
Can you tell me about this prototype that you've been mentioning over the past few minutes and any other modular projects that you've been working on recently that have incorporated these new methodologies that you've developed over the years?
Sure, we've got a few things. We've got a prototype that we've developed for single family for rent. The single family for rent is the latest trend because of the economic situation. You know, so single family home builders, even our multifamily developers that are having trouble penciling the numbers, you know, are considering either a townhome product or a single family home product. So we've got a prototype for that. We've got a project here in Orlando that we're working on. We've got a micro house concept that is our prototype for a project we were working on in Tampa. And then we've got the same going for a couple of projects out in Las Vegas. They're different products, okay? The micro house product is something that Manny and I concocted, and it's a simple formula. You know, it's the F-150, as Manny mentioned before. It's my funny little analogy, mm-hmm. But really it's the chassis the same, but we can do certain things to it to make it feel like it's different. You know, it can grow in a few increments to get a little bigger depending on the need. And then we've got a loft style unit for a live work environment. It's compact, it's efficient, it's straightforward. It's got a sub-module where there's a kitchen and a bathroom and a shower and a laundry facility. It's all working together for efficiencies and keeping all the wet plumbing walls together. The living area is open, and we've used a lot of glazing to invite natural daylight. The ceilings are high, so this ultimate space feels bright, airy, volumetric. It's, you know, you don't feel like you're in a tight little shoebox, right? You feel like you're in a nicer space than maybe what it is. The material palettes are durable. We've even concocted a way to incorporate some modular furniture that we have by design. We've also worked with some other companies that have modular furniture out there. And Manny could speak to that because he had the most detailed conversation with them. But it's to allow those that have a need to come in and start living right away, a turnkey approach. The modularity behind it speaks to the efficiency that we can put more units on a smaller site. We can deliver this thing quicker so they can get it to market faster and serve broader communities that have a tremendous need for housing. The markets in the cities we're dealing with, it's urban infill. There are these tiny little sites, and we've talked to a number of governmental agencies, specifically housing authorities. They own land, or they have a mission to develop land that, you know, they know the city owns, that's been forgotten. And so it creates these fragments. I mean, in Tampa, it's fragmented. You know, they're gentrifying the area, the town center is growing, but then as you move a little farther out from the town center, there's still this sprawl. There's, you know, some variances in heights of buildings. There's some communities that are forgotten and lost. And with our prototype, we're able to bring those things together. We connect that divide. And it's been effective because we are able to show economically, look, this is an affordable build. It's built solid. It's quality. From our renderings and models and things and the walkthroughs that we've shown people, they've gotten a feel for, wow, this is not what I thought at all. This isn't a Section 8 housing kind of project with bare minimum, you know, things. This is as market rate as anything else on a smaller footprint, and it's speaking to the need. So I'll let Manny talk a little more about the details, but that's pretty much the gist of what the prototype is without giving away too much of our secret sauce.
Well, and I think that what I kind of contribute is that at the heart of the concept is the ability to add to the product, create new products for different needs without having to fundamentally change the framework. So the kit of parts that we have developed works in a modular way. So the structural component remains basically the same. And then we have a series of packages that would give you the difference between the affordable market or market rate. It would make the difference between a single bedroom, two bedroom, or three bedroom unit without having to have a complete redesign of that framework. So the pieces come together and in such a way that it would allow us to supply a quality product to the market, but with on our side, the predictability of cost control and how the various pieces plug into that framework. For example, Gary mentioned the wet areas, the kitchen and the bathroom. For the affordable market, we don't have 20 different types of bathroom and 16 different types of kitchen. It's a basic kitchen because it's a market that needs certain specific things, and it's a basic bathroom, but they are universally designed and you can enhance it, you know, a couple of notches. If you're plugging this into a market rate product, or you can have the one or two basic packages for affordability for the affordable market. But the basic framework for those submodules is the same. And that way we have a better grip on estimating what a 100 unit development could cost or a 1300 unit development could cost, right? And so—
And cost always comes up, right?
It's
the number one question.
It's never gonna go away.
Even get involved.
Cost considerations That's essential,
yeah.
Right? It's fundamental to development. So you hear these stories, right? That, well, if we abandon, if we put aside conventional build and we go modular, it's going to be more expensive. And there is all sorts of speculation about what expensive means. 10%. Some people the other day told me, oh, we looked at it and it's 30% more expensive. And I was wondering, maybe you're talking to the wrong people. Right?
Yeah.
there is something odd in that, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we think we put some thought and tears into developing this prototype. And now the great thing is that we are seeing how, because we've discussed this with developers in Vegas, for example, and with our associates over there, and we are seeing how this is being accepted and perceived as a great opportunity for us to start actually building in the next couple of years. Maybe we can, or sooner if we can, start rolling out these ideas in a very effective way throughout the Vegas market. And we'll use that as the point of the spear to then go into other markets, like where we have already have a presence, like Texas and here in Florida,
yeah,
and Tennessee and some other places where we already have, we're already building conventional build affordable housing.
So we did the whole deliverable is what we said before. You know, we know what the general economics are. You're never going to dial in specifically to what this costs are until you engage the manufacturer, you know, the details of the site. But we have enough knowledge now that we get enough ballpark information that we can talk about it. When we started this journey 5-6 years ago, we had no information to share. And a lot of people were turning away from us because they said, well, you've got to hire the manufacturer first. And then we sit down, we talk about the project, we'll price it and let you know. Well, we've done enough homework that we've got metrics now. We've got data that we can share. And that's key to getting the interest for people to change their mind on what modular means. Like Manny said, somebody said, well, that's 30% more expensive. Well, again, maybe they are talking to the wrong people because we haven't seen an increase in that. You know, is it going to be cheaper? Depends on what your mission is, really. But we have that data, and that was key. That's key to all those discussions. You know, I had a group in Southwest Florida. They wanted to do a large scale community down there. And this happened right around November of this past year. And they said, we understand modular. Both me and my partner have been in modular business before. We would love to apply it here, but you know, down in this market, we don't know what that means. And you know, thankfully, Man and I had made some progress and we were able to share data with them. And with that, they took it back to their partners. And so now they've got a pro forma. Now they know we can successfully accomplish what we want to do with a modular build. And it was, you know, a project with, you know, market rate apartments with over 300 units. We had, you know, a few unit types. We weren't using the micro house concept necessarily on that one, but with our other work that we had done with our traditional apartments, we used that. And so there was a trade there, and we were able to, you know, successfully gain their interest in it. And so we'll see what happens. I mean, that was November, you know, we're not too far into the new year, but that's just one instance, you know. And then with the whole micro package, not only do we have the data, but we've got the plans. We can show you how it works. We got the models, we got the add-ons, you know, of everything that you want, you know, embellishments. You want a flat roof, you want a pitched roof. I mean, we've tried to answer as many questions that have been asked to us over the last few years as possible, so we can gain that success in doing more modular projects. And it's working. I think it's a slow burn for us still here in this region, which is why I think we're both very pumped. World of Modulars in Orlando, I think you're going to have a pretty good turnout. There's been a lot more interest in our region in the last 2 years than there has been in a long time. And it's because it's very, very challenging to do projects, you know. And so I think that with people understanding that we can do it, maybe we'll get more manufacturer traction. That's what we're lacking here. We don't have manufacturer. We know there's some players that have tried or are in the process of attempting to be significant here, but there's nobody really here to do what we're talking about. You know, you still got to go to Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, you know, and farther, you know, partners we have in Chicago, Texas, and those don't always pencil because of the logistics of getting from there down to Fort Myers, for instance. You know, it's not going to work as well. But if we had a manufacturer here, man, I've been saying it for a long time, and I think Manny agrees. I mean, we've got the supply chain. You know, come on, partner with us. This is a call for everybody to get together and make this happen down here, because I don't think it would stop.
Well, it should be a fantastic event, as you mentioned, World of Modular being in Orlando. I have every expectation that you should be able to have some excellent conversations with some builders, some developers, some people who are interested in being in Florida. I know the interest is there. It's just a matter of making it happen. I wanted to circle back a little bit. You talked about the prototype that you're developing over and about your experiences over the past few years. Clearly, a lot of thought has gone into your designs, your prototypes. Is there anything that you've noticed in yourselves that has changed over the past few years? Are you paying attention to different details when you design for modular? Are you putting more emphasis on a certain area of design work than you used to? How have you guys in your design sort of evolved over the past few years?
There is something to be said about the insanity of being persistent. When we started the process and you know, had these conversations, there are times when you think you're going nowhere. But believe me, if you are truly enthusiastic about whatever it is, and in our case is modular planning, modular design and manufacturing, it might appear to be a bit insane at times, but if you're persistent, you start to see results. And in our case, it's been, if we take into account from the time that we joined the MBI, it's been like 3-4 years. And now we are actually having conversations with developers about tangible product that can be put to market. So it's not so insane now.
And I think when I'm asked about a project and to speak to how modular works, you know, I'm looking for the repeatability of certain things. You know, we dive into the unit mix a lot. We want to know how many units are 1-bedroom, 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom. And so immediately I'm thinking, well, how can we line this all up, get all the wet walls where they need to be, you know, still meet the spirit of what these clients want to happen, because they all want a unique experience. But I'm thinking, okay, well, if I can do it modular and I can make the plan a little more efficient, I know that I'll have some economic savings because I've reduced the amount of differences I have in the plan. I know that it's going to be easier for building and coordinating in the field. So I'm thinking of the engineering, you know, now I'm thinking, okay, well, structurally, I kind of know what my sizes are, my parts and pieces between tenant walls, my floor ceiling separations. So I'm building into the design also the whatever extra headroom we may need for the coordination of duct work and pipes and whatnot once the units are set volumetrically. I'm thinking about, you know, what does this look like too? You know, if I'm making these changes, is it going to make it look like a bland design where it just looks like a series of boxes, or am I still able to manipulate the parts and pieces to get a unique elevation, still create those shadow lines of interest? You know, we've got a wide material palette now. We're able to overlay that on the modules. So even though the base, the chassis, again, back to how we developed that prototype, even though that might be the same, you're not going to know that from the outside. You're not going to know that from the inside. It's going to feel like anything else that was built anywhere else. And so that's how I've changed, because I'm thinking of how those efficiencies, because sometimes you get developers, they have their form. They know what they're doing. They've been doing it. They got their performa. They know the mix and this and that. And, you know, you gotta kind of talk them into rethinking what they're doing a little bit. You know, change their perspective, say, look, we're not deviating too much from your ultimate goal. We're tweaking it to make it more efficient and more effective for you, because we know you're going to have challenges with certain things. And if you do it this way, I promise you, you'll have less challenges. It's also been an interesting point of discussion thinking this way to talk to contractors, because contractors now think, well, geez, if you are going to promote the modular build, well, what am I doing? You know, I'm not doing anything anymore. You know, I don't, my scope is way less and my profitability is down. And I'm, you know, I don't want to just be a site contractor. And you have to tell them, no, that's not it. You're actually more integral now than you were before, you know, because I need you at the table from the beginning. I need you to think with me how we can do this. We need to know your sub base and how strong they are and how they could, you know, integrate with this process. We introduce you to the manufacturer. Manufacturer is going to tell you what they're doing. So everybody's working together now.
What can you tell me about some of the partnerships that you've made along the way? You mentioned a network across the United States that you guys had. I know, for instance, you guys have been working with another MBI member called Zenerate. I was wondering if you could tell me about that partnership and what you've learned from that.
Sure, that's really exciting, actually. And it's Manny's brainchild because he's heavily into planning. And, you know, we always get a plan as a start of a project. You know, somebody's coming to us, wants a density study. They got a unique piece of dirt. How do we fit the units in there and whatnot? And, you know, from our modular discussions, those are efficient parts and pieces. We know we can do a little more with them. He's been interested in AI, and he's been interested in looking for software to help us with efficiencies. And this group, Zenerate, had an opportunity for us to partner with them as, you know, beta testers for their unique software that I think is very, very helpful. You know, it gives us insight to things that we didn't know were possible. And so with us, we're able to exchange the ideas that they need to improve their product that's going to make it very effective for a lot of end users. So, Manny, what can you tell everybody about
this? So, Jean, not a day goes by that we don't hear in the news or publications that, you know, about AI, artificial intelligence. So as a curious person, you start investigating and looking into it. And there is a lot of stuff out there that is fun, but to some extent, nonsensical, right? Not everything is because it's AI or is claimed to be AI has a practical aspect that we can actually use. And we've been looking at it. We've been looking at a large number of applications for planning, architectural design, renderings. There is a lot of that out there. Some of it really crazy. You have no control of what you get, you know. So when Zenerate came across our desk and we started the conversation, the first thing that I realized is that this actually has a future. So we started to have conversations with them, and they opened the opportunity to, you know, for us to give them feedback. And since planning is something that we do all day long, I thought maybe there is an opportunity here to take this application and put it through the test of sites that I've already done, for example, that I know what the result is, and see what I can get with the AI mind looking at it, right? So it's been very interesting working with Benji and his team. And we think that he told me the other day that he's going to be speaking at World of Modular. So we're really looking forward to see that presentation. And I think that a lot of people, a lot of architects and developers are going to find this product actually quite practical and usable, you know. And I think that's a great point of distinction of this planning software, which is tailored specifically for the modular industry. And I think that's another characteristic. It's not some universal tool that does everything for everybody. It's they have a very sensible approach to how they're putting this together. And it's been amazing for us to see the evolution from day one to recently when they've been incorporating some of the comments that we had. And so that collaboration is now producing results that, you know, when you play with it, you can see the advantage. So it's both a planning tool, and that is working, also helping us with our own work, and we are helping them with the feedback that we provide. So I think that when they speak at World Modular, that is going to be something that that will be very very interesting for everybody to learn about.
It's important to note, I think, that you know, as sophisticated as software is becoming, it's still not replacing us humans yet. You know, that was a big concern of ours here at FK, because the hype of AI was all over the place. And you know, if you watch some sci-fi movies and you're like me, you know, you might be a little curious as to how that's going to work out. You know, you don't want Skynet taking over anytime soon. So
that's funny. It's funny you mentioned that. I read a story just this morning about how OpenAI is going to put in their AI software into humanoid robots. And I said, oh, no, here we go.
And I was at IAPA a couple of years ago, and they had an AI android there. And it was just from the, you know, mid torso up. But this thing was creepy. It had all kinds of facial features and movements, and it would engage in conversations with the passerby, and it was learning as it went, and it would create more dialogue and be more friendly. And its face was moving and blinking, and I don't know, it creeped me out a little bit, but we're getting off topic. But yeah. You know, again, I think this tool is very helpful when you've got a difficult site, you know, and you're trying to put numbers together, you're trying to pencil things, you know, and it could help jumpstart the process. It adds to the kit of parts we already have as design professionals. You know, it's an extension of our pen and paper, you know, and I think that these guys are really onto some. I think they're approaching it in a smart way. They're asking the professionals like ourselves that do it day in and day out. You know, Manny's been doing planning for forever now, and I think he's been great about, you know, staying up late with them and communicating. I mean, they're overseas, so we go back and forth and have little design charrettes, and I've seen a lot happen in a short amount of time. So it's interesting. But again, my warning or my message is, it's not going to replace people, you know, and you're not going to just buy the software and say, okay, well, I'm going to be able to get my plan, and I know my density, and I know the number of modules and my mix and everything, and I'm done, and bye-bye. You know, it's not going to do that. So, well, so that's good news for us, because we'll stay in business.
as you guys have been doing this for a few years, plan to do this for many more, I assume your toolbox has been growing, your experience has deepened. Before I let you go, I've got one more question for you. What would you say either to your younger selves, just starting out as designers, about the possibilities of modular, or if there's a new modular designer who is still in school or studying or just graduated, new to the industry, what would you say to that person about the potential for modular design, the skills they'll need? What would you say to them to get them off on the right foot?
I'd say, don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Keep, if you have an idea, keep at it. Always be communicative, open your mouth, talk to people. Don't be afraid to say the wrong thing, because it may not be the wrong thing. It may be the right thing. You know, get out there and talk to as many people as you can. We've seen a number of competitions pop up for modular designs, and we've seen some pretty interesting things going on out there. So you almost get overwhelmed, you know, with the amount of people that are now gravitating toward modular builds and modular designs. So you would think, well, geez, why would I want to be involved? And everybody else is already solving that problem. But that, I think, is the wrong attitude, because, you know, you may have a different perspective, and everybody's perspective could be a game changer. And if you have some passion behind it and you've got that gusto, I think that's going to make you very successful.
And I would add just a couple of things. Be persistent. Persistence is, it pays when you are honest about your objectives and your passion. And keep an open mind and learn from the people that have walked the path before you. You know, there is a lot to learn. One of the greatest benefits of having joined the Modular Building Institute is finding that there is so many people that have great ideas and have great experiences, and they are willing to share those experiences with us. And then we become better at what we do because we learn from them. And hopefully one day we may give our two cents to some younger people to, you know, to keep them going on their path.
Gary, Manny, thank you so much for your time. It's a pleasure as always. I hope to see both of you in Orlando. I'm sure I'll run into you one of the days of the conference, hopefully several. I really appreciate your insights, your time. Again, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, same, John. We like talking with you and find it interesting. Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, John, for having us. And we're certainly looking forward to World of Modular here in Orlando.
My name is John McMullen, and this has been another episode of Inside Modular, the podcast of commercial modular construction. Until next time.